League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Let's have some fun. Jake Asman in for the Boss and the Gloss. So you're not gonna get the boss, and you're not gonna get the gloss. You're gonna get me. It's the ass tonight. Jake Asman in.
I'm an ass man.
For the next 2 hours, I did not know that was gonna be played, but you know what? Jose on the other side having some fun early on. We're gonna have a good time. We have a lot to get into. I'm pumped to be on the air for the next 2 hours, taking you till the gold standard comes your way at 9 p.m. Eastern, or actually, I should say 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central time. Plenty of football talk. We'll do plenty of football this hour. The breaking news that just came up probably about an hour ago, Le'Veon Bell reportedly will report to the Pittsburgh Steelers during week 7. That is the Steelers' bye week, which means we're still 2 games away from the return of Le'Veon Bell. We'll get into that situation. I have some thoughts on Earl Thomas and what we saw yesterday with his injury and him flipping off the Seattle Seahawks sideline. I'll touch on that. I also want to get into some of the wackiness that we had in NFL Week 4. We have 1 game remaining, Monday Night Football. We'll keep you posted on that throughout the show. That game's about 10 minutes away from kickoff. Kansas City, Patty Mahomes, 3-0 against a divisional opponent on the road, the Denver Broncos, and Case Keenum at home. So we'll keep you updated on that for the next 2 hours as well. But I got to start with this. Patrick Creighton left some pizza in the studio as he signed off the air. That's what's called being a great teammate. That's what's called being a great talk show host, but a better man. So I promised Patrick I'd give him his due. He left some dominoes in the studio, and Jose, you know I was going to have some dominoes. So thank you to Patrick Creighton. I had to start with that. Now to more important stuff. Not to say the pizza's not important, but we'll move on.
Pizza's pretty important.
It is pretty important. I was starving. It was fantastic. I look forward to eating maybe pizza, probably Chipotle, when I get off the air with you, Jose. But let me start with this. Do we know which teams are good in the NFL right now? Seriously. I think we know the Rams are good. I think we know the Jaguars, I guess, the Patriots. I mean, there was a lot of talk about them being bad. We knew that wouldn't be the case. Who's good in the NFL right now? Seriously. You have the LA Rams. That's a given. But what's great about this sport is week to week, you have no idea. Did anyone see the Vikings being 1-2-1? Pittsburgh being 1-2-1? We had a wacky NFL Sunday, and when we come back, we'll get into all of it. I'll give you my top 5 storylines from week 5. Or from week 4 of the NFL season. Don't go anywhere. It's Jake Asman in for the Boss and the Gloss for the next 2 hours here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Jake Asman in for the boss and the gloss. And I would love to be the boss. Unfortunately, I am not. I am just an employee here at Gal Media. And listen, I love Gal Media. They do a great job. SB Nation Radio taking you till the gold standard, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Still a few minutes away from the kickoff of a little Monday Night Football, the final game of Week 4. And then how about this? We've reached the quarter pole of the NFL season. Isn't that scary? Today's October 1st, and what really just kind of just wows me every year with the NFL is just how quickly it goes. We spend all year talking about the NFL, whether it's the playoffs, the Super Bowl, and then you have months upon months of overanalyzing the draft, and this year, the previous year with the quarterbacks, and we'll get into that in just a second. All these quarterbacks, these rookie quarterbacks, just talking about all these different aspects of their game and overanalyzing and breaking down, you know, what they eat for dinner on Tuesdays in December and, you know, what they do Wednesdays when the temperature's above 80 degrees. But the NFL is just constant coverage of everything that happens. And then you finally get to the season, and it's so much fun. It flies by. The fact that it's already October and we're 4 weeks in, man, that's why I say enjoy football. If you have a team you root for, even if they're bad, you only get 16 games. So I never miss a game for the Jets, no matter what, no matter how bad they are. And believe me, we'll get to the Jets. They are bad, and it starts with their head coach. Without further ado, I teased it going into the break. I'll get into now. These are my top five Week 4 storylines. And, hey, we have one more game to go. Maybe Patrick Mahomes throws for six more touchdowns tonight, and we add him to the list. We make an exception. We make a number six. But for right now, starting with the Thursday night Vikings and Rams game to where we are at this point, here are the top five Week 4 storylines for me, and I begin with number one. Frank Wright's mistake dooms the Colts, but possibly saved the Texans' season. Texans led 28-10 in that football game yesterday with 6:39 to go in the third quarter. They had this game won until they didn't, until Andrew Luck became Andrew Luck of a few years ago. And he took the Colts up and down the field, tying this game up, sending it into overtime. And it looked like, for what would be the third time in just 4 weeks, it looked like we were headed towards a tie. And let me make something very clear to Frank Reich, because I'm not sure if he's aware of this. A tie is better than losing the football game. I just want that on record, everyone. If you tie, it's still better than losing the football game. Just so everyone's clear. So how about this? We all saw it. The Colts go for 4th-and-4 on their own 43-yard line in overtime. Luck throws an incomplete pass, and just like that, the Texans, whose season is on life support at this point, gets a second chance in this overtime. Gets a chance to complete one pass to DeAndre Hopkins and set up an easy field goal to win this game in overtime. That, to me, is one of those decisions where if you're Frank Wright, nothing you say today, nothing you say tomorrow, nothing you say at any point can justify the idea that he wants to go for it. And, Jose, I believe we have audio of Frank Wright talking about it. If not, I'll read you his quote because I have it up in front of me. If you look at what Frank Wright said, he has doubled down in every sense of the word with this decision. He has not owned it. He has said, I want to be aggressive. We'll go for it 10 out of 10 times. And I understand that his players have stood up for him. I understand that his players have said, hey, we want to go for the win. We never want to be in a tie. You have to think big picture here, though, if you're the Colts. You have to think big picture. You have the Patriots on a Thursday night this week, short week. You got to go to Foxborough. A tie would not be bad in that spot. If you go into Foxborough next week at 1-2-1, it's a heck of a lot better than being 1-3. A heck of a lot better. And I understand nobody likes the tie. The saying goes, and this is a weird saying, a tie is like kissing your sister. But a tie in that situation would be a lot better than a loss. And that's what the Colts ended up with. And here was Frank Wright's quote from today. He followed up. He was asked about it. And he goes, obviously, I thought about it in the last 24 hours and still feel really good about the decision. I understand the other side of the decision, and I'm not saying that's not fair. In my mind right now, we're the best team in the NFL on third down. We're really good at converting those. That's number one. Our quarterback was on fire. That's number two. Our offense was on fire. I didn't feel like they could stop us, so that was a big factor. It was a bit risky and a bit aggressive, but I think it was the right call. I feel good about it, just didn't feel good about the execution. Even if they converted in that spot, they pick up the first down. They are still only at midfield with a running clock and less than 20 seconds at that point. The percentages didn't make sense. So Frank Reich could say whatever he wants to say, right? He could say whatever he wants to say on this, but you cannot justify going for it there. I've tried to think about it from his perspective, and there's a difference between being aggressive and then there's being stupid. And that's what Frank Reich did. And you know what? I'm here in Houston. Texans fans, they'll gladly take it. The Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, he needed a win. He got a win. And all of a sudden, I'll throw this little Texans nugget at those who don't follow the team close. Texans 0-3. All of a sudden, look at their next two games. Cowboys here at NRG Stadium next Sunday night, NBC, nationally televised game. Winnable game. Won't be easy. Winnable game. The following week, home against the Buffalo Bills. It is not crazy for the Texans to be 3-3 going into a critical matchup in Jacksonville 2 weeks from yesterday. Not saying it's going to happen, but don't rule it out. That's what that decision by Frank Reich created. A narrative here in Houston that just maybe the Texans season could somehow be interesting. Item number two, and I alluded to this a bit earlier. How about all four of the rookie quarterbacks that started, right? All four of these rookie quarterbacks that were taken within the top 11 picks of the NFL draft. That's Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. They all started on Sunday, and it was Mayfield and Rosen making their first career starts. And they all lost. All of them. And honestly, all of them probably didn't play that well. We begin with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had his breakout game against a Vikings team that didn't want to play last week. He follows that up with 16 of 33 for 151 yards, two interceptions, sacked seven times, and a 36.3 rating. Bills lost. Sam Darnold, 17 of 34, 167 yards and a touchdown. Sacked three times, a 74 quarterback rating. He wasn't great. I wouldn't even say he was good. He was eh. He missed some throws. Rookie quarterback. These things happen. Remember last week the talk was how great Baker was? Then it was how great Allen was? Week one it was Darnold? This is why we don't judge quarterbacks on game to games. I'll give you two more examples. Baker Mayfield. His stats are pretty good. 21 of 41. Almost threw for 300 yards, two touchdowns. But he had two picks and two fumbles. And Baker Mayfield was a big reason why the Cleveland Browns blew a two-touchdown lead in the second half. And finally, Josh Rosen. To me, he looked the best out of all the quarterbacks. 15 of 27, 180 yards and a touchdown, no picks. First career start. Put them in position to win that game if Phil Dawson could hit a kick. He missed. Cardinals lost. But Rosen looked A-OK. But you bet Josh Rosen's going to have some bad games. Why? Because he's a rookie quarterback, and these things happen. So the instant gratification of rookies, we got to stop with it. It's just not the case. And I'm going to need some breaking news music, Jose, for item number three. This might surprise people. We have some breaking news for item number three. The Patriots might still be good. They beat the Dolphins yesterday 38-7. 38-7. Remember when the Patriots were done? They had no wide receivers to throw to? Well, how did they put up 38 points? Philip Dorsett looked pretty good to me, right? Cordell Patterson? I wasn't just seeing this. You saw this too, right? I'm sure we all saw this. We had to, right? I thought the Patriots were bad. This is why I laugh when we do this every single year. Now the Patriots have a Colts team at home on a short week. They're going to win that game. They're going to be 3-2. And guess what's going to happen? They're still going to win the AFC East. Dun, dun, dun. I said it. Hot take. The Patriots are still going to win the AFC East. It's happening, folks. But you just got to laugh at it, right? Now they're going to get Julian Edelman back next week. Josh Gordon looked okay in his debut. He'll be mixed into the offense moving forward. It's comical to talk about the Patriots. Comical. They're going to be fine. Item number four, the Bengals and the Ravens. They are, right now, significantly better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. And maybe Le'Veon Bell in a few weeks changes that. But right now, the Bengals look like a better team. And I got to give a lot of credit to Joe Flacco and the Ravens. Last night, Flacco played one of his best games we've seen in years. 360 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Third career game with 350 yards, multiple TDs, and zero picks. Joe Flacco, a little lightning in a bottle right now for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, they kind of said to Joe Flacco, hey, your contract's not guaranteed next year. We're bringing in RG3. We're going to draft. We're going to draft Lamar Jackson. And what does Flacco do? Okay. He goes out there and plays as well as we've seen. And that, to me, has been really impressive to watch. If you're a fan of the Ravens or you've just been watching them all year, they look legit. They look like a dark horse contender in a very weak AFC. And as far as the Bengals, usually the Bengals are the team that loses the type of games they played yesterday. They found a way, and they beat the Ravens already. So you got to give respect to the Bengals. And right now, Pittsburgh just looks like a mess. I mean, the Ravens held the Steelers to 47 yards of offense in that second half yesterday. 47 yards. They were outscored 12-0 after the half. Pittsburgh with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame receiver, Juju Schuster, a great wide receiver opposite Brown. And guess how many rushing yards the Steelers had last night? 19. Yeah, they could use that guy named Le'Veon Bell pretty soon. Pretty soon. And finally, item number 5, and this is from Thursday. Let's not forget what the Rams did to the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. Jared Goff and that offense. The Rams are the best team in the NFL by a lot. Name me a team that's close to the LA Rams right now. You look in the AFC. It can't be New England. Talent-wise, they don't match up. It can't be the Eagles. They're 2-2. Wentz has been eh. They just blew a big-time lead to the Titans yesterday. Who's the best team in the NFL? The answer's the Rams. Who's number 2? Who's the second-best team in the league right now? The Chiefs and Mahomes? Maybe, but we got to see more. That, to me, is the problem. Crickets. The Rams proved on Thursday, through the quarter poll of the year anyway, they are the best team in the National Football League. So those are my 5 takeaways. Do you agree? 800-777-2907 is the number. That's 800-777-2907. What was the biggest Week 4 NFL storyline for you? And an update in the Monday night game that just kicked off. It is 3-0 Broncos over the Kansas City Chiefs. Plenty of time, of course, in the first quarter. So plenty to get to tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun for the next hour and a half or so. I have an interesting poll question I posted on my Twitter account earlier today. It involves Chipotle, and we will certainly get to that a bit later on in the program as well. So plenty to do. 800-777-2907 is the number. Your calls, your reaction on Twitter, and more football talk when we come back. Jake Asman, in for the Boss on the Gloss. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
We continue here on the program. Jake Asman in for the Boss and the Gloss. Coming up later in the show, we'll check in with Dan Budick of CBS Sports. He normally joins me each and every Saturday to go around the league, but since I'm on a Monday, we'll bring Dan on and get his thoughts, and we'll touch on all the storylines in the National Football League. I want to hear from you, 800-777-2907. Richard in West Virginia, he'll start us off this evening. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening. You know what? Something about Le'Veon Bell, this is something that really interests me. I don't know how this all went down. Maybe you know how it just happened, but he called them, they called him, or exactly how it went down. But I just want to see here if he's the one, if he's the key that they need, so they get him back as a running back, and then all of a sudden this team's going to start winning. He's going to get 150 yards a game. I don't think it's going to happen. And I guess I would ask you what think is G about him. Is he the key? Is he going to turn this game around? How exactly did they sign? How did this signing go about? Did he get what he wanted? Or?
Well, here's the thing with Bell, and thank you for the call, Richard. Le'Veon Bell's situation is comes down to this. He cannot get any additional money from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He cannot sign a long-term contract. That window to negotiate, that passed over the summer. So he's simply coming back now, and he's going to make about $10 million if he reports in 2 weeks. A tidge under $10 million, a smidge, I should say. His franchise tag was worth $14.9 million this year. Since he has missed the amount of games he has missed, when he comes back in week 7, and he'll start playing in week 8, he will get the prorated franchise tag version of his salary the remainder of the season. So that's where his salary is coming from. He has basically said he doesn't want to get his body hurt. So he felt, I'll miss an X amount of time, and then I'll show up when I want to show up. I didn't think he'd show up this early. I thought he would show up right around the trade deadline so a team that would trade for him would know they're getting him. I didn't think he'd show up now. But the fact that he did, that's great for the Steelers. Now, does Le'Veon Bell automatically make them a better team? Not necessarily. Because if you remember last year when he held out and then showed up, it took him a couple games to really get going. But there's no doubt they need him. They could use him. He's a difference maker, not just as a running back, but as a receiver out of the backfield. But the question I would have for Le'Veon Bell is, what type of shape is he in? Is he going to be able to come back and be the guy after maybe a game or two once he knocks off some of the rust? So that's concerning. Now, that being said, I'm not surprised he's coming back. Guy could still make $10 million this year. I think I'd want to make $10 million as well. But here's the thing. It might be too little too late when he does come back in two games. Think about the Steelers' upcoming schedule. Next week, they got to go to Atlanta. Or actually, I apologize. Next week, they host the Atlanta Falcons. But regardless, that's a huge game. At home against a Falcons team that is also in a similar spot. The Atlanta Falcons are 1-3. How are the Atlanta Falcons 1-3? I mean, think about that. Some of the teams that we thought were going to be legitimate contenders in the NFL have poor records. The Vikings, anyone see them being 1-2-1? Anyone see the Falcons being 1-3? I mean, come on. Pittsburgh, just talking about them, 1-2-1. But the thing with the Falcons that is just unbelievable to fathom is Atlanta in their last two games. Matt Ryan has passed for 793 yards. He's completed 74% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, no picks. And the Falcons lost both games. They lost a shootout 2 weeks ago to Drew Brees and the Saints, and they lost last week at home to Andy Dalton and the Bengals. So now they got to go to Pittsburgh and face the Steelers defense, which is terrible. So just because Le'Veon Bell's coming back in two games, what if Pittsburgh loses next week? And then the following week, they got the Bengals. Are they winning that game as well? Not a given. So yeah, Le'Veon Bell's going to be back, but what if Pittsburgh is 1-3, or let's say 1-4, 1-4-1? Or maybe they pick up a one, even if they split. Look at the rest of the AFC. Look at their own division with the Ravens, who look to be better, and the Bengals right now, who look to be better. It's going to be tough for Pittsburgh to get a wild card if they don't win some of these games coming up. So even if Bell does come back in 2 weeks, they lose these next two games, what does it mean? 800-777-2907. Got some time here. I want to touch on the Earl Thomas situation. New developments there. So with Le'Veon Bell coming back, it's almost ironic that he comes back after what we saw with Earl Thomas. So Earl Thomas breaks his leg. He's out for the season. Earl Thomas was holding out. He showed up. He's unhappy. He didn't get a new contract. Earl Thomas being carted off the field yesterday is seen making the middle finger gesture to the Seattle Seahawks sideline. And people were killing Earl Thomas. How dare he? How could he do this? Why is he saying this? How could he do this? I mean, really? Can we give Earl Thomas a break here? We'll get to what Pete Carroll had to say about it yesterday and then his comments today. But people are slamming Earl Thomas. I don't think that's fair. The guy broke his leg playing for a team that didn't want to pay him. He showed up. He's allowed to be upset. Now, does he have to flip the middle finger off? Probably not. But I think it's so ridiculous that people are upset about it. Football is an emotional game. You got emotional. These things happen. And what can these players do? Let's look at Le'Veon Bell for a second. Le'Veon Bell holds out. He's selfish. If Le'Veon Bell shows up and gets hurt, he's an idiot for showing up. It's the same thing with Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas, people are saying he's an idiot for reporting. But he's probably getting calls and texts from his teammates saying, we need you, man. Just show up. It'll be okay. Someone's going to pay you at the end of the year. I get his frustration. I get all these players' frustration. Football's a violent game. That's why I never have an issue with a player wanting to be paid. This was Pete Carroll. Take a listen to Pete Carroll yesterday. He was asked about the gesture, and you know, Pete Carroll was Pete Carroll. Didn't really give you much.
Somebody said something. I don't know anything about that. I don't know. It's a big stadium. You know, it could be. I don't know where it was aimed at. Earl was extraordinarily poised on the field for what just occurred. to be so clear and so, you know, resolved to what he knew what happened. But he was so poised and, you know, and given back to the players and all of us. And so I don't know what happened after that.
He was upset. He was frustrated. I don't think Earl Thomas should be slammed for being emotional playing a football game. That was Pete Carroll yesterday. Today, Pete Carroll was on ESPN LA, or excuse me, ESPN Seattle at 7:10 in Seattle for his weekly spot. And he was asked once again about the Earl Thomas gesture. And Pete Carroll, I thought, nailed it. And this is why Pete Carroll is liked by his team. This is why Pete Carroll has the respect of his players. Comments like this, quote, "People are criticizing whatever happened. Don't understand. This was an earth-shattering moment for a kid. He's trying to play this game he loves, and all of a sudden this happens again. He knew exactly what happened to him, so he went right to what it's going to take to get back. He had it all totally figured out and was as emotional as you can get. Give him a little slack. This is a very, very difficult moment that most people wouldn't understand that was all about." I agree with Pete Carroll. I think people that are trying to slam Earl Thomas because he gave the finger because he was upset that he broke his leg, put yourself in his shoes. Football is an emotional game. I think it's over the top ridiculous for the fake outrage to say, "How dare Earl Thomas flip somebody off?" You all have flipped people off. Come on, be honest. Jose just flipped me off right now. A lot still to do. Coming up next, we'll get back to a topic I touched on at the beginning of this. Who's really good in the NFL right now?
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Neither of them are here. Jake Asman in for the Boss and the Gloss. Jose, let me ask you something.
What's up, man?
Normally produce the Boss and the Gloss each and every Monday during this time slot. Do you ever get nervous working with the Boss so up close and personal? You intimidated at all?
At first, I'm not going to lie, yeah. The first week or so,
the boss. His name is on the show.
Oh, yeah, and his name's on my paychecks.
That is true.
At first, I was, but when he started getting me involved and I started taking the initiative with the preparation for the He Said, She Said segment that we do, that kind of went away.
Now, let me ask you a question, though, right? If you disagree with one of his takes, because I've listened to Mr. Gow. He gives some hard-hitting takes when he does this talk show. What if you disagree, will you tell him you disagree? Or, you know what, he's the boss. He's 100% right. You're a yes man.
I disagree with most of Patrick's takes, and I don't tell him anything.
Patrick's not the boss. He's not signing your checks.
That's fair.
Patrick's just getting us pizza before the show starts, which is tremendous.
Hey, sometimes he gets me pizza.
That's a good guy right there, that Pat Creighton. All right, well, I'll keep that in mind. What type of music do the Boss and the Gloss like?
I typically try to play softer stuff like what I just played right now.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Updated Monday Night Football, 3-3, first quarter, 4:23 to go. Plenty of time. Patrick Mahomes with the football, looking for more. We'll keep you posted there. So far, a low-scoring game. I don't know what the posted total was, but I think a lot of people thought this game could be a shootout. That has not been the case thus far, and it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs are about to punt it back to the Denver Broncos. So another drive without a touchdown. We'll keep you posted in that game should anything unfold. I want to get to this, and I talked about this at the top when we kind of opened the show. Other than the Rams, do we know who's good in the NFL right now? Think about this, for example. The Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans just beat the Eagles, right? The Titans lost to the Miami Dolphins in their first game. But the Titans also then beat the Jaguars. And I just mentioned they beat the Eagles. So this was a team that lost to Miami. They beat Jacksonville, and they just beat the defending champs. Then you look at a team like the Jaguars. They beat the Patriots. They lost to the Titans, who lost to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins were just blown out by the Patriots. Nobody knows anything. And if I said to you right now, in January, late January, AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game, the two winners of that game and the two teams that will be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl this year are going to be, I don't know, Jacksonville, and let's take a random NFC team that maybe could surprise some people, the Chicago Bears. Would it be stunning, absolutely stunning, the way we've seen things go this year? I can't sit here and say it would be. I really can't. I think if you look at where the landscape is in the NFL right now, what makes the sport so special is that we really don't have an idea of who the great teams are. Yeah, there's always that one dominant team, that one team that you look at and say they're the best team in football. Last year, that team was probably the Eagles before they lost Wentz, and then we saw what happened. It was very much up in the air what they would be. This year, take a look at some of the teams that have losing records. Pittsburgh, we talked about them, 1-2-1. They have the same record as the Cleveland Browns. Indianapolis, 1-3. Houston, 1-3. I don't know if people thought Houston and Indy were going to be amazing teams, but I think we thought they'd be decent. I know I thought the Texans would be pretty good. I picked them to win the AFC South. I thought with Watson coming back, that team with a ton of injuries last year was a lot better than a 4-12 record. Well, the Texans, I know they beat the Colts yesterday, but we'll see what they can do. They still have a long way to go. Other teams with losing records that is surprising? I mean, look at the NFC. Minnesota's 1-2-1. The Chicago Bears are leading that division right now. They're 3-1. Their quarterback, we didn't know if he was any good, threw 6 touchdown passes yesterday. We don't know anything of what we're talking about. That, to me, is what's so funny. We do these shows. We give our takes. What makes the NFL great is that it's so week to week. Nobody has any idea about anything. Look at the other teams with some losing records. The Falcons. We spent some time talking about them in the last segment. The Atlanta Falcons have no business being 1-3. But 1-3 is 1-3. And they have a tough schedule. So you start off poorly, and that could unravel. How about in the NFC West? The Cardinals won 8 games last year. I know nobody thought they'd be a great team, but 0-4? I mean, you just don't know what you're getting week to week with this league. Jacksonville could blow out the New England Patriots 2 weeks ago. Then last week, they could lose 9-6 to the Tennessee Titans at home. New England can't pick up a first down against the Lions last week. Doom and gloom for the Patriots, right? Oh, no, they're okay. They'll put up 38 points against the Miami Dolphins and make it obvious they're still winning that division. So my question to anyone listening, who's the best team in the league other than the Rams? Because this argument could be made for a different team pretty much every week. And that, to me, is what makes the NFL so great. This is why we love the NFL. Because 4 weeks in, we have no idea. The NBA, we want to do an NBA Finals preview. It's probably the Warriors versus either 3 teams in the East. Toronto, Boston, or Philadelphia. That's it. And up until LeBron left, the NBA Finals preview could have been done in July every year. It was Warriors-Cavs. And then for a 4th time last year, oh yeah, Warriors-Cavs. That's my issue with basketball. We know the good teams before the year even starts. Same with baseball for the most part. Yeah, there's always a surprise team here or there. But for the most part, we knew the Astros were really good. We knew the Yankees and the Red Sox were really good. In the NL, we knew the Cubs were good, the Dodgers. Who was that surprise team? You know, the Rays won 90 games. Great. They still missed the playoffs. Football, you just don't know. You had a Jaguars team last year that went out there and won 3 games, and then, or 2 years ago, I should say, and then last year, they were a quarter away from going into the Super Bowl. That's what makes the NFL great. That's what makes it king. The NFL is king because week to week, nobody has a clue.
Back to your point, I was looking through the divisions, and I would want to say the Saints, but then you remember how they probably should have lost that game to the Browns, and they could easily be, they're 3-1 right now, they could easily be 2-2 right now.
And how about week one, they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Ryan Fitzpatrick went up and down the field on them, and that's the same Ryan Fitzpatrick, it backs up the point again. I went out there yesterday, and the magic of Fitz, it wore off. And now they're going back to Jameis Winston after their bye week. So who's the best team? There's always that dominant team. It's the Rams. But who else? Because for every team you argue, I could give you a counter-argument to that team. Oh, you want to talk about the Baltimore Ravens? They got blown out by the Bengals. Oh, you want to talk about Jacksonville? Well, any given day, they could show up and lay an egg on offense. They did it against the Titans. So to me, that's what makes the NFL so good. That's what makes it so fascinating. It's so week to week. We talked about the rookie quarterbacks in the last segment as well. Week one, Sam Darnold was Joe Montana. Then what happened? Baker Mayfield was Joe Montana. Then Josh Allen was Joe Montana a couple of days later after he beat the Vikings. It's week to week. Game to game. And we're only 4 games in, and I can't sit here and tell you who the best teams are in the league. I thought the Falcons were a Super Bowl contender. I still think they can be. Let me ask you this, Jose. If I say to you a couple months from now we're going to hop in the time machine, the Atlanta Falcons are playing in Atlanta, their home stadium for the Super Bowl, would you be shocked?
No.
I don't think I would be shocked either, and that's my point. And they're 1-3. So this is the most wide open I could remember the NFL being. And even with the Rams, I've talked up the Rams a lot. But look at the LA Rams for a second. As good as they were last year, Atlanta came into their building and beat them. And they're a better team this year, there's no doubt. But would it shock you if the Rams were 1-done in a playoff game? No. This is not Tom Brady and the Patriots of 2007. They're a really good team. They are. But they're not, you know, a world-beater team, a team that's an all-time great team. And we'll see what they end up being. Last year, we were talking about the Chiefs as the best team in the league. And, you know, they went from 5-0, I think, back to 5-5 or 5-4. They had a huge losing streak last year. So who really knows anything right now?
Yeah, the month of November is going to be an interesting month for the Rams. They start at the Saints, then they've got the Seahawks, which shouldn't be that crazy, but then they play the Chiefs on the 19th.
Their schedule is tough. They're a great team, and they're not going to be really challenged in their own division. Maybe they're not as good as we see them down the line. I don't know. Maybe they are the best team. I don't know, and that's my point. That's the point of this. Because in the NBA, I could tell you right now, the two best teams in the West are probably the Warriors, the Rockets, the Lakers will be better. We know the teams. The East, I could give you the three teams that are legitimate contenders. Baseball, I could have told you before the year started, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros are probably going to win over 100 games, and the Indians will win the NL Central. I can't do that with football. I can't. The Eagles are 2-2 right now. I still think they're the best team in that division, but I can't sit here and say that for sure.
That division is a trash can, though, to be fair.
Well, the Giants are a trash can. Which,
no, their offensive linemen are trash cans,
and
literally.
They have a lot of issues. And I'll give you, you know what? It's not even just the offensive line with the Giants. They haven't scored more than 30 points in 37 games. 37 games. Look at the passing numbers around the NFL yesterday. Mitch Trubisky threw 6 touchdowns. And the New York Giants, with a future Hall of Fame quarterback, haven't scored more than 30 points in a football game since Tom Coughlin's final game as the team's head coach. That's 2 coaches ago. And the excuses, oh, the Giants O-line, oh, it was Ben McAdoo. At some point, and I love Eli Manning, Eli's got to take some blame for this. He's become captain checkdown because he doesn't want to get hit. Or say whatever you want about the Giants, there's no excuse for them to be 1-3. And I think the Cowboys aren't a great team, but somehow they're 2-2, and they beat the Lions yesterday. So I'm having a hard time truly dissecting this NFL schedule. I really am. 800-777-2907. A reminder, if you missed any of the show, the podcast will be available on my channel, even though I am in for the Boss and the Gloss, so you can check it out there. I'm also on Twitter, at Jake Asman. That's Jake, A-S-M-A-N. Best tweets will be right over the air. When we come back, I want to get into Jameis Winston being named the starting quarterback once again, and why it's not just an important move in the short term, but Jameis Winston's playing for a big contract. And maybe it's not with the Bucks, maybe it is, but either way, it's put up or shut up time for Jameis Winston. We'll get into that story next. Don't go anywhere. Boss on the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
Fellas! Yeah! This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Jake Asman in for the Boss and the Gloss, taking you to the gold standard, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And what a lineup Monday nights are. You go from the Boss and the Gloss to the gold standard. A lot of pressure on Alex Gold. He's got to relieve the Boss. Not easy. We'll see if he can do it. Tonight he's relieving me, and he'll join us at the end of my show for a little crosstalk. I got to get into something that happened with Alex Gold and I yesterday. We'll do that a bit later. But a note from BetDSI, and I'm excited about this, because BetDSI has some incredible opportunities for you during the football season. BetDSI has been around for 20 years, 20 years of paying winners, reputation for great service and fast payment of your winnings, an excellent mobile interface so you can play, win, and get paid anytime. And get started with some extra bang for your buck. BetDSI.com is offering SB Nation Radio listeners an extra 25% bonus. That's a 125% bonus only with promo code WIN125. So take your $100 on your first bet and make it $225 or $500. It goes to $1,125. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500. Don't leave any money on the table. Make sure you use that promo code. That's WIN125 to get the SB Nation Radio 125% bonus. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine. NCAA football, NFL, live betting. You want to live bet on this Chiefs-Broncos game, 3-3 in the second quarter. You can do it at BetDSI.com. MLB playoffs, NBA, UFC, esports. I don't know how you bet on esports, but you can do it there. And you can even bet on politics, celebrities, reality shows. You could do it all. Join the winning team at BetDSI.com. Once again, promo code WIN125, and you have already won. So let's get to this. Jameis Winston was named the starting quarterback once again for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Wasn't this one obvious? Fitzmagic, at some point, was going to wear out. Sometimes it lasts until week 17 of the regular season when you need to win and get into the playoffs. And then it runs out. I watched it firsthand as a Jet fan. I'm not bitter. And then sometimes it ends after just a couple games. And that's what happened here. He didn't play well yesterday against the Bears. They have the bye week. They were coming in off of a short week, so you knew Fitz was going to have the job for at least another week. It makes sense that Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer the starter for the Bucks because this is a big year for Jameis. Jameis Winston probably has not lived up to the billing of being a number one overall pick. He hasn't. He has shown flashes of being a good quarterback. He has shown flashes of being a guy you could trust. And then he's had off-the-field issues. And then he's had a lot of picks, a lot of inconsistent performances. What is Jameis Winston? The Bucks still don't know. And he's playing on his fifth-year option next year. So they could decide for themselves, hey, do we go long-term with this guy and pay him big quarterback money to a guy we're not sure about? Or do we move on and try and find our next franchise quarterback? And I don't know what the Bucks are going to do. I can't sit here and say one way or another they're going to do this or that. That's why they need to play Jameis. It's a big year for Jameis Winston. Maybe not with the Bucks, but for another team. Jameis Winston's going to want a new deal at the end of this year. And the Tampa Bay Bucks have to decide if they want to be the team that's going to have to pay him over $100 million. And I'm not sure if they're going to be that team. If they are that team, well, then they need to see Jameis Winston go out there and play like a number one overall pick. So Winston coming in, not a surprise. The fact that Fitzmagic, his magic wore off, that's not even close to being a surprise because that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. And I'm sure at some point again this year, he's going to find his way into the lineup. Why? Because whoever is the starting quarterback when Ryan Fitzpatrick is the backup usually gets hurt. In Winston's case, suspended. But you know what? Winston hasn't been hurt yet, so watch out. Maybe we haven't seen the last of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, real quick, I ran a Twitter poll with Alex Gold about Chipotle yesterday. Alex Gold told me that he eats his Chipotle bowl with a spoon. I said that is a ridiculous take. You use a fork with a Chipotle bowl. When we come back next hour, we will get into that a bit more. Don't go anywhere. A lot still to do. We'll talk baseball next hour. Dan Budick of CBS Sports is going to join us to go around the NFL. A lot to do. SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.